Our next performer, writer, poet, advocate, Sassy Newman, now lives on Yuin country here in the Bega Valley. But she was born in Victoria at Yarram. Sassy writes about mental health, colonisation, domestic violence, substance misuse, environment and grief. And with each performance, she's guided by the moment and the spirits at her side. Today's performance has been waking her up in the middle of the night all week, but with family, friends and the rest of the room at her side, please welcome Sassy Newman.
I'd like to acknowledge the elders of the Derringanj people. I'd like to acknowledge the past, present and emerging people within this area too. So I'm really a little bit nervous, so I'm just going to put it out there. This is my biggest crowd yet. Such an honour. My indicator when my poetry has finished for each poetry will be that. You ready? Because there's going to be a little bit of turbulence on this flight. Look under your seats for your life jacket. I'm sad, I'm tired. I'm tired, Australia. I'm sad I was born in this country. I'm sad I am mixed race. I'm sad I walk this line of not being white but not black, black but not white. I'm sad, Australia, because you want me to leave the past behind. I'm sad that terra nullius was claimed on this land as if Aboriginal people did not exist. I'm sad that that European families were brought here, shifted from their homelands based on class, crime, and that's a continuous feature. I'm sad that refugees seeking freedom for war are penalised, just as your families were, perhaps not from war, but for seeking a better life. I'm tired that even behind the jail yards, Aboriginal people are given cultural time out, which leaves other minorities behind those gates, disjointed, white people denied. Again, class keeps you in place when all you all should be united against a justice system that serves no justice. I'm sad you want me to forget the stories of my Aboriginal family being forced to leave their homelands. I'm sad I cannot be proud of their resilience. I am sad, Australia, that the frontier wars is forgotten in your history lesson. I'm sad I acknowledge my white family who gained land through the Returned Soldiers Settlers Program and Aboriginal diggers were denied this privilege. I'm sad about the effects from the Great Depression. I'm tired there is a lack of pride in our country being the oldest living culture, and there's so much debate over Australia Day because we are not sure who Australia actually is. However, I understand you need to be patriotic. I'm sad you got duped into thinking sorry was for the invasion. It was for the stolen generation. That is massively important for transgenerational and trauma and those affected, disconnected, but still not the invasion. I'm sad I'm not good enough for one or the other. I'm sad that my identity is based on policy that affected white people too. I'm sad that because I choose to be a strong Aboriginal woman to show our existence is not bred out, I'm racially vilified. I'm sad I'm chastised when I show a legacy on this land with the ancestors before my time. I'm tired when farmers like my white family lose their land, you understand the importance of grief, legacy and history. I'm sad that you choose to ignore possibly the same feelings we share together. I'm sad, Australia, that policy and law divides us through race, class, religion, forgetting humanity. I'm proud, Australia, Gunai Kurnai born Bidra Waka Waka descendant, I am First Nations. There you go. Thank you. Just want to give credit to Rachel Mouncey for the photography behind me. Okay, this next one's called Doctor, Can You Help Me? Her body's screaming, she ain't dreaming. Yeah, here she is again. Her body's screaming, she ain't dreaming. You sit in your chair, certificate on the wall. Don't that shit make you feel tall? You're brainwashed by the system, her body's screaming, yeah, she ain't dreaming. Add your own personal bias and leave her in this crisis when it was this exact system that decided grief for her mother was a disease, mental health, an accepted term. And now you say she's at a point of no return? Cutting the benzo like a dealer, and you wonder why she returns to the street and becomes that label you call an addict, making her feel like a whore who wants more. Even though it was your system that created this monster, an antidepressant not keeping me present, but hey, it's better than a benzo to get me through. Her body's screaming, she ain't dreaming, wanting to fight, but man, you wanted to, wanting her to take flight. Back to the pipe, the green, the bottle. Yeah, can't you see she's in trouble? Suicide, perhaps the end to all her troubles. Her body's screaming, she ain't dreaming. Shit had even started long before. A man-made substance sending a kid dizzy and frizzy like a white line. Sugar making you crave and making you brave. When the big man ain't making enough money, he distributes and regulates like a pimp. And you wonder why this woman returns to the streets. Her body's screaming, she ain't dreaming. Because her body, mind, knows what it wants and needs for the moment till it gets back to country and out of this concrete jungle and your certificate on the wall. Her body's screaming, she ain't dreaming. Because she's found Sassy Newham. This next piece are called Medications and Dedications. 2016, today has been a hard day. Today we're not sure where we want, nor where we want to be. Conflicted in spirit, confused by a white man's way. Medication that's meant to make you feel right. Instead, we wake with thoughts of the night, quiet murmurs, sounds turn piercings, one that makes your skin prickle and your heartbeat jump. Tears well as does the lump in our throats, trying hard to be content in the soul just so we can have a moment we feel whole. Cold, vacant, unimpressed, upset by the littlest bump. Sometimes I just feel like I want to jump off a cliff, float away into a place so my mind can be replaced by the one that feels in constant distress. 2018. So here we are again with the quiet murmurs in our minds. No piercing sounds this time, but a rumble jumble of combined and misconstrued words. White noise. Reminding me of waking up to the morning ABC country radio. My grandmother would play on schedule every morning in the distance while Pa milked cows. Her duties completed before he came home to a table served breakfast. As I write this, I ask, why is it at times I can't meet these timely routines? Medication, dulling my dedication to my own personal plight, and for heaven forbid, should I say, I know my spirit. In this public misfit we call a mental health system with artificial grass, plastic, concrete walls, jail windows like jail yards, human zombies, medication messes with our dedication. Call this piece The Forgotten People. The forgotten people, they're there, you know, out in the long grass, amongst the destitute parts of the land. The forgotten people, they're there, you know, out amongst the gum trees, out amongst the dust. The forgotten people, they're there, you know, out on the mish, for some, a place of confused colonisation. The forgotten people, they're there, you know. Soon they'll be pushed into town, not knowing again where to be found. The forgotten people, they're there, you know. Big governments and corporations are pushing them into the city. Ain't that a pity? The forgotten people, they're there, you know, sitting in the jail cell. How long they don't know. The forgotten people, they're there, you know. Who remembers them? They're the crying tribe. The forgotten people, they're there, you know, in the place of resource. Ain't that a privilege? We, the forgotten people. This one's called In a Boot. Now let me wind the clock forward because she says she lives in the past. She's going to break it down for you in contemporary terms. She's going to bring rhythm and rhyme and throw it down like slam, like the time she was covered in clothes, made a pillow with a jumper so she didn't feel like death or cosy in a boot. The door slams just like the words from her mouth. So you brought her darkness into today, taken back to the fear of being trapped, degraded, and that door goes slam, slap, like the hands have violated her body. Her screams, her begging for mercy, slammed, beaten for crying and crying until she turned cold and those tears took fold. She lost them tears in fear, numb, perhaps survival. They were gone for at least 2 years, maybe more. Time is just a blur, as if it never occurred. Slam, her body on the floor, hands around her neck. She can't breathe. She gets knocked out and oddly awakened in a melody of haze, being rocked in these same hands, arms that are frightened that maybe, just maybe, he killed her this time. Slam, just like the words of see what you've done, as if it was her who had her hands grasped so tightly around her neck. The jumping out windows, the quick fleeing at the doors, screaming for help because she wants this all to end. She can't walk to the toilet. She has to crawl, her body in agony, her mind wondering why. Her father wanting to save her, but in his words, you were mesmerised. He saw what she couldn't, his own demons rising, not compromising. Slam! She finds courage to leave her mother's death, meaning she's got to fight for her family that remains. The same you tried to protect by hiding me in a boot, but hey, they ain't my blood. They're your kids. So who cares about the scars of emotions her nieces and nephews witness in the aftermath? Slam. Really, though, yours, theirs, they ain't protected because at some point our sadness, our guilt, chaos and madness hits them, slapped in the face with words and emotions, as if it was her idea, fault or favour. Slam. Now she brings back the flow because it's time to glow. This crown on this matriarch ain't going to be destroyed by a societal fuck up. Men destroyed too through all this oppression leading to aggression. But this woman thinks of these moments and it gives her drive not to lose her compassion or passion. As the tears return, triumphantly she returns. This is the last one, sorry. kindness. Kindness, it can be given in the most mysterious ways, like an extra shot in your coffee every morning and wondering why you crash and burn in the afternoon. Kindness, it can be given in the most mysterious ways, sitting at a bus stop, woman working through addiction, but sees I'm cold and she says she's going to get me a jumper, brings one back from the op shop and says, don't worry, it's Nike. I know what you like. Kindness, it can be given in the most mysterious ways. A gift from a cafe, a little muffin, cutely decorated, a thank you amongst privilege. Kindness can be given in the most mysterious ways. A yarn with a person, hidden compassion lessons for your daily troubles. Kindness, it can be given in the most mysterious ways. Through the song of Nina and Simone, here comes the sun. Into the shop that you walk to on a dreary day. Kindness, it can be given in the most mysterious ways. A visit from a bird, hello. The bloom from a flower, new life. The gift of rain, cleansing and growth. Kindness, it can be given in the most mysterious ways. The little nod of hello, the eye contact with the homeless person on the street, smiling eyes, smiling face, letting them know you see they have the soul. Kindness, it can be given in the most mysterious ways. Understanding, recognition, acceptance, humble. Kindness, it can be given in the most mysterious ways. A cuddle, a kiss, no more words to say because everything will be okay. Comfort, stability. Kindness, it can be given in the most mysterious way.
Sassy, there are many here who will know you as Megan Holt. What's behind Sassy Newman? Where does that name come from?
So Sassy, like, I just always had this... I did have this inner person that, you know, I just... that always wanted to feel confident but wasn't. And my writing brings a bit of sassiness. Comes with punch. That's why I said, like, grab your life jacket. And Newman means spirit, which is a dialect from my dad's area, Waka Waka. And also, due to genocide, assimilation and colonisation, our people all have varying perspectives on life. Our learnings have been different. And, you know, that's even with respect to my brother, sister and father, because they might not see what I see.
Speaking of not seeing what you see, one of the phrases you used in the poem Forgotten People, the crying tribe, where does that phrase comes from? What do you see there? What have you experienced there?
You know, I was talking with a friend. We were having a coffee after a presentation and just talking about, you know, the remote people in the desert, you know. There's not a lot. What we see, what's it say? What you don't know won't hurt, or what you don't know won't hurt you. There's people out there. But there's people out there that we don't know about. We don't see. We're told in the media, oh, we've injected, you know, $1 million into that Aboriginal community, you know. However, you know, this woman, she asked this young girl when she went back home, "What have you been doing?" That young girl couldn't answer. 2 days later, she come back and she said, "Oh, I've been smoking." Just no hope, no privilege, no purpose. Couldn't see in their life.
She finally thought of something that she'd been doing, and it was smoking.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was what she could think of, and that was a really sad, sad thing to mm-hmm. think about, yeah.
Your poetry, your words, acknowledges the experiences of you and your family and your people, and indeed people in this room. Your poetry and your words are also new to many people who haven't experienced, who haven't seen what you, your family, your friends, your people have experienced. And clearly your words have touched many people today, the standing ovation, the tears in people's eyes. What do you say to people who this is a new experience for them? Your words, your experience, even how you share your story through poetry is new to people. What words do you have to help those people interpret what they've just seen?
Oh, good question. look, some of these topics, I say white and black in my poetry, but, you know, it's actually just to give you an artistic vision. So when you close your eyes or, you know, you hear the words, it's not made for division. My family didn't teach me to be divisional. And it's really to bring awareness to Aboriginal culture, Aboriginal pride, evolving culture. We are the oldest living culture. We're still alive and proud. We're here. And we know how to walk in two worlds a lot better. You asked us to, so here we are.
Great answer. Ladies and gentlemen, Sassy Newman.
Thank you.